Have you guys been enjoying this series so far?
Yes.
Hopefully you're getting a lot out of it. Just going through this whole, listen, there's no way I could cover every topic out of Ephesians. So we are going through it chapter by chapter, but we're just hitting main themes that are in it. Obviously, if you studied on your own, God's going to show you even more. So as we're getting in today, I'm talking about praying prayers that will help you to pray for other people. Does anybody ever struggle with what to pray for somebody else? Right? It's like we only have a limited number of words, and maybe you find yourself running out of those words, like, oh God, I don't even know what to do. So we're going to talk about that, but I want to back up, and I'm momentarily going to talk about my kids, but all three of my kids, I think some of you guys know, all accepted Jesus at a young age, which is no big surprise being a pastor's kid, right? Like, ooh, big shock, right? But the thing is, they've lived for him ever since then. Not that there's ever been struggles along the way or things, but how many of you know we should never minimize the lifelong potential of a child's faith and trust in Jesus? Oh, they're just kids. Oh, they don't really understand. Listen, ever since Pastor Colleen and I, we went into ministry, kids' ministry has been foundational in the church. Right? It can't be just, oh yeah, that's just something that we do. Let's just get the kids out of our hair for a little while. It should never be, you know, we're the main service and yeah, they're over there somewhere. And I told this story in our first service, but when we were in Hawaii, you know, I was in the Army, we were at a church, we were serving, Colleen was doing the kids ministry, and the pastor dismissed the kids and he goes, this is what he said from the pulpit, we're going to be letting the kids out for some babysitting. And my wife took the kids out, but at a later appropriate time, she went to inform the pastor, listen, we do ministry for the kids. She goes, if we're doing babysitting, I want you to know I charge $100 for babysitting, but I'll do ministry for free. I think that kind of changed his perspective. It's not just putting them in a room. Let's give them a popsicles and put those together. They may do that, but they are actually getting ministry, right? You build into them at a young age, and guess what? When they're old, they will not depart, right? It's in there. So anyway, here's the thing. Sometimes people that accept Jesus at an early age, is anybody here that you accepted Jesus as a kid and you're still serving in hell? Look at all those hands, right? And it's like, whenever testimony time comes, it's almost like, well, I don't really have that great of a testimony, right? I don't have the kind of amazing testimony that makes people laugh or cry or clap or cheer. I want one of those, right? But I want to tell you, it's a powerful, beautiful story when you follow Jesus your whole life. I believe that's one of the greatest testimonies. But sometimes people see that and they wrongly assume, oh yeah, you've been a Christian your whole life. Things have been easy for you. You probably have never been like me. You know, I've had to deal with disappointments, harassments, doubt, guilt, anxiety, persecution, condemnation. I put a lot of words up here, didn't I? Betrayal, fear, struggles. Has anybody hit like most of those in your life at one time or another? Anybody say, yeah, I've done all of them, yeah. Right? And I can add to that list if you want to, Pastor. But somehow when we see other people's lives and it seems pretty good compared to us, and we think, well, they got it easy. You know, of course they can rejoice in the Lord always. Look how easy their life is. Look, you know, they seem to have it all together. But here's a big newsflash. How many of you realize everybody deals with these?
Yes.
Everybody, whether you've been serving the Lord your entire life or whether you just gave your life to Him this week, those are things that all of us understand with. But I will tell you this. The longer you serve God and you begin to understand God's word, you begin to pray God's word, you begin to trust God in that, God begins to help you overcome each one of these areas in your life.
Yes.
Right? It's not an overnight thing, is it? Anybody ever? Overnight. You know what? I accepted Jesus and boom, man, I don't have any struggles ever again. Wouldn't that be wonderful, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that way. But I do believe that the longer and the more you allow God's word to get in, the more you spend time in prayer, the more you begin to allow that, God begins to help us think right about these things. He helps us to begin to live right. Let me tell you, I know we're in Ephesians, but I want to reference that Philippians again, because both letters that Paul wrote, Ephesians and Philippians, were both written from prison. And Paul had needs in prison. Let me tell you, prisons back then are not like prisons today. You go to prison, you get your blanket, your pillow, your mattress. You know, you get three meals a day at least, I'm assuming. You have electricity. You have all of that. In the jails back in Rome, you got basically put in this room, this dungeony room. You didn't get meals. There was nobody serving up food. You didn't get blankets. You didn't get pillows. You didn't get any of that. If you had any needs, you had to have people from the outside bring it in. Right? You had to have somebody bring you your food. If nobody brought food, guess who didn't eat that day? Right? No clinging on the jail cells like, hey, listen, I want food. I want food. They'll just probably come in there and give you a beating is all you're going to get, right? So Paul had needs in prison, didn't he? And so some of his friends, some of the churches would send him supplies. The Philippian church was one of the ones that sent him supplies. And look what he said. He goes, how I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. And I know that you have always been concerned, but you didn't always have the chance to help me. That not every chance did they get, could they do that. But he says this, not that I was ever in need. Now let me just stop there, because Paul was in prison. He had to have people. How many of you know he was actually in need? But there's a reason that he is saying that. Not that I was ever in need, but he says this, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. Isn't that a great place to be? Yep. He says, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. And he says, I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is a full stomach or an empty, with plenty or with little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. So he's commending them, he's thanking them, but he's saying, listen, you know what? If you would have sent it, if you wouldn't have sent it, I know the secret to be content. Right? I know that. He learned that. That's something that he learned over the process of time. How? By reading God's word. And think about this. He didn't have the New Testament because Paul wrote a good chunk of that. It was all Old Testament, but there's enough promises and encouragement in the Old Testament that kept him going. God's character is revealed in the Old Testament just as much as the New Testament. Some people, oh, I don't read the Old Testament. Let me tell you, there's some awesome encouragement from God's Word. Paul knew God's Word. It built in him. He trusted. He prayed all that, whether good times or bad. And in the process of doing that, God helped him to learn about all those circumstances. I can deal with it. All of these things right here. And I honestly believe this. As you learn to pray God's word in any and every circumstances, you will begin to get victory over your struggles. You'll begin to get victory over your fear. You'll begin to get victory when condemnation comes your way, or harassment, disappointments, doubt, all of that stuff. As you begin to get in God's word, you begin to pray that. So I want to give you just a few today, and then I've got some people going to come up and share. But if you struggle, and I shared this with our Thursday night prayer group, anybody here struggle with sleep, going to sleep? All right, there's a few hands here. How many of you know in Psalms 4:8 it says this, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, will make me dwell in safety. Right, you can begin to pray that as a prayer. Lord, your word says in Psalms 4:8 that I can lie down and sleep in peace. So before you go to bed, you begin to say, God, I'm declaring and speaking your peace in my heart, in my mind, because usually it's our mind going 90 to nothing, right? And allow God to begin to bring that. If you face rejection, anybody ever face rejection in life? All right? Psalms 9:10. For those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Right? You can begin to say, you know what? I know my parents rejected me. I know my family. I know my friends. But Lord, I know that you never forsake me. And you can begin to pray that and begin to build your confidence. If you've ever been personally attacked, you don't even have to raise your hand, because that's pretty much everybody, right? 2 Timothy 4:18, it says, the Lord will rescue me from evil attacks and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. He says he's going to rescue you from every attack. Right? We can begin to pray that, Lord, I'm under this attack. Somebody's accusing, whether it's false, whatever. They stretch the truth. They outright lied about you. Lord, your word says that you're going to rescue me from every evil attack. And Lord, you're going to bring me safely in. Amen? Amen. So there's so many verses, and I actually have a list. So I've got right back there by Christian, raise your hand back there in the back. There's a little packet. There's about 30 of these. That's all I have. Once they're gone, they're gone. But we can email them to you if we run out. These are 25 scripture prayers that you can pray. I listed a few. I read a couple of them here today. But it's things, whatever you're struggling in your life, and begin to pray God's word. So I did ask a few other people if they had a verse that God has given them to help them through a difficult time. So if you were one of the ones that I asked, if you guys could come up here, and I'm going to meet you on the floor right here. So you may have to adjust the camera. Come on over here. Well, you got to be live right here. So this is Ginger, just in case some of you guys didn't know her.
Hi, everybody.
Is it on?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's on.
My husband says yes because he thinks I'm loud. You know, I have a lot of scriptures that have really helped me over my lifetime, but this one is sometimes God doesn't hear you. You feel like he's not hearing you, and you wonder where God is, and you feel kind of distant from him. And this one, Zephaniah 3:17 in the New Living Translation, "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm you in all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful singing." And to me, the fact that the Lord of the universe is singing over me is just, it just is, helps me a lot.
Amen. Amen. Good job. Richard?
This is one of the first scriptures I memorized over 50 years ago when I gave my heart to the Lord. And since we're attacked by demons in our minds almost every day, this is a scripture that you can use, and I've used many times and gotten victory over the attacks. And it says, "I have been crucified with Christ. Yet it's not I who live. It's Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me." That's been over 50 years, and I've kept it in my heart.
Amen. Amen. Richard was 4 when he gave his life to the Lord, too, just so you know.
So, you know, as everybody knows, I mean, me.
Hold the microphone up.
Ups and downs in life, and, you know, but one thing that always comes to mind is God, you know, trust in the Lord. He'll sustain every step of your way, you know. I mean, He will intercede. He will rescue you. You know, all of us have been through many, many ups and downs, and but one thing comes to mind, that he will sustain you. And he always does. And he has me. So if he does me, I know he will y'all.
Amen.
Oh, y'all.
Y'all. Yes, he is. And this is Jenny here. Most of you guys know.
So mine is Psalms 147:3. The Lord, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up the wound.
You don't have to say anything if you don't want.
Well, I was just going to say, this has meant a lot to me because it's and both for me. He will come down and heal immediately and bind up immediately, but also he continues. It's an ongoing healing and binding up, and just with every thing he does every day, it's a process, and I know he's with me.
Amen. 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 Let's give them a hand for coming up and sharing. I don't think nothing about standing in front of people and talking for some reason, but you know, God's word really does sustain. And what I want to say is that when you begin to pray God's word, when you begin to pray scripture, and I know if you guys have come on Thursday night, Pastor Collins taught numerous times about praying God's word. How many of you know that's powerful? You know what's powerful about it is God's word we know is inspired by the Holy Spirit. So when you're praying God's word, guess what? You are praying God's will. Right? Like, he will bind up the brokenhearted. You know, he will do these things because he already said it in his word. So if we can learn to pray God's word in accordance, his promises, all of that, then we know that we're in line with him, and we have. What does the scripture say? If we pray anything according to his will, it will be done, right? So today we're in an important passage in Ephesians, and it's a prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians. But it wasn't just the Ephesians, because the letters Paul wrote to the New Testament, they would go, like, it's called Ephesians because that's where it first went to. And then it got passed to Philippians, it got passed, or Philippi, got passed to all the different areas, but they would read his letters, and there's a middle of this whole chapter, there is a prayer that Paul is praying for the Ephesians. And what I want to challenge you, I'm going to read it, but I want you to kind of position yourself and imagine, if maybe you've read this 100 times, I want you to imagine that you're in Ephesus and they're rolling open the scroll. We just got a letter from Paul, and you begin to hear it for the first time. But he starts out with this right there. For this reason. For this reason. So verse 14, and what is he talking about when he says that? Because you gotta think, a couple of weeks ago, if you were here when Pastor Colleen was speaking, in Ephesians 2:19, he said this: so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You're citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. That was a big deal. Remember, there was that tension between the Jews and the Gentile believers. It was like, okay, well, you may be a believer, but you're not as good as I am, right? I'm like the doorpost and you're the foot, you know, the walkway. So they had this struggle there, but Paul's saying, listen, you're all members. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophet, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. And through him, you Gentiles are being made a part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. So Paul's saying, listen, all of us are a part of it. No matter what your background is, we're all joined together. So he's trying to get that. I mean, we kind of understand that. Back then, they didn't really understand that. I mean, let me tell you, even today, there are some that feel like they're better than others.
Yeah.
Right? Yo, you know what? We're this denomination and the other one. No, we're this denomination. And yeah, we're this denomination. It's like, you know what? We're all one church.
Right.
Right? We're all one church. So Paul's saying, listen, all of us together. And so he tells them, for that reason, for the reason that we are all together, he says, I kneel before the Father, from whom his what?
Whole family.
Whole family. Not just part. That's what he's talking about. In heaven and on earth derives its name. So he's trying to say your identity is no longer your background. It's no longer your heritage. It's not your economic standing or religious belief. You are all followers of Christ. Right? We're all, our identity is in him. We're members of one family. Again, regardless of denominational signs, you don't get up into heaven and find, oh, here's the Assembly of God section, you know? Here's the Baptist section over here. Here's the Lutheran section over here. Here's the, you know, whatever. How many of you know none of that exists up there? So instead of identifying as an American or a Democrat or Republican or Latino or black or white or whatever, how many of you know our number one identity is in Christ?
Right.
Not by our society, not by culture, but by us following God's word as we live in relationship to him and to each other. Right? That's what our identity is, how we treat each other. So regardless of all of these things, race, color, background, country, all of that stuff, we are one family.
Amen.
But I do want to say this. I don't want to minimize. Does that mean your background doesn't matter? Or your heritage, or your race, or your culture? Absolutely not, because that makes you you, doesn't it? Right? That's a uniqueness that you have, and I believe adds to the body of Christ. Right? Whatever you've been through, whatever your background is, that makes the body of Christ even richer, I believe. But the reality is, we have to remember, that's not the most important thing, is it? No, what matters is that right relationship with God. And if he is our Heavenly Father, how many of you know he's everybody's Heavenly Father that accepts him?
That's right.
That means we all got the same dad.
Yes.
Right? That makes us family. So he's saying because of all of that. And then, like I said, just imagine that as you begin to hear this prayer. I want to begin to read it starting at verse 16. I'm going to read the whole thing. And then I'm going to kind of break it down on how you can use this prayer to pray for others in your life. Those that you love, those that may rub you the wrong way, you can pray the prayer for anybody, okay? So he says, I pray, and imagine hearing, like I said, for the first time, that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So that's his prayer. That's a powerful prayer, isn't it? So I'm going to break it down, and we're going to jump just to verse 16, and we're going to go through each one. First prayer thing that he's praying is, I'm praying that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. How many of you ever need strength? Right? From his power. Now, I want you to think again. Remember, I've told you this numerous times. Paul is in where? He's in prison, right? Wouldn't you, if you were in prison and you were writing to your people like, hey, I'm in prison. I pray that, you know, can you pray for me that I could get out of this mess and out of this hole that I'm in? How many of you know that's our kind of natural thing? Because he wasn't in a comfortable prison, right? He was in a bad situation, and he didn't do that, did he? He didn't have a selfish prayer. That's not how Paul prayed. I believe a sign of maturity is when you begin to pray for others before yourself. Right? It's not about not praying for yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. The scripture says, what? You have not because you ask not. But I'll tell you, when you begin to put others before you, guess what? God begins to come in and meet your need. Right? And so Paul, he prayed for other believers that they would be spiritually strong, spiritually strengthened. And I do believe that even when you're struggling, and I think especially when you're in the middle of struggling, you begin to pray for other people. And that's the first one in your note. Pray that others will be spiritually strong. Begin to intercede for other people. And listen, I know it may not make sense, you know, in our mind, because we got to look out for us. But when you begin to pray for others, like I said, God is going to come in and he's going to strengthen you. Even if nobody prays for you, God sees that. And he sees what a selfless heart. So how many of you know, just like physically, we get strong, don't we? Do we do it overnight? One trip to the gym and I'm buff. Yeah, I wish, right? Yeah, I've gone a lot of times and it still hasn't worked yet. So it takes a lot of time and a lot of work to get spiritual or physically strong. I believe the same thing is true spiritually, right? If you're going to get spiritually strong, it's not like, ooh, I'm going to go to a revival and boom, on the other side, I'm a warrior now, right? I can leap over tall buildings and do all of that stuff. No, spiritually, our spirit man has to grow as well. Just like Paul said, I have learned this secret. It was a process in his life to learn that. How do I do that? It's by developing and engaging in those daily disciplines, spending time in prayer. How many of you know when you spend time in prayer, you begin to get spiritually strong? It's like bench pressing, right? Every time you begin to get into God's Word and you read God's Word, even if you get to the end of the whatever you were reading, you're like, well, I don't think I got anything out of that. How many of you know you got something out of it? Right? You may not be able to recognize it there, but you've hidden God's Word in your heart. You may not need what you read at that moment, but there's going to come a time God's going to pull that up at the time you need it.
That's right.
Amen? So learning to read, spending time in worship. Does anybody ever feel like you just kind of get a little bit of spiritual strength as you worship God? Right? He begins to build you up. Fellowshipping with other believers. How many of you know that's not just hanging out with your buddies? Right? We can do that. We may enjoy that. But truly learning to fellowship and build those relationships with each other really does make us stronger. It's not, you know, our idea, okay, I'm just me and God, just me and God. Yes, you can make it into that heaven that way, but I want to tell you, when it's you and God and other brothers and sisters in the Lord, you're going to be a lot stronger along the way. You won't be just like, oh my goodness, I can't wait till I finally get to heaven. What's the one song? Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away, oh God. No, listen, we can be bold and strong every day of our life.
That's right.
Right? But it takes other people. I mean, our small groups, those are important things to be a part of. It's not just another thing to do. Sometimes people see it, oh yeah, another thing to do. Oh, another thing to do. Wednesdays, we started our Wednesday nights and we actually serve a meal and I think we got tacos coming up this Wednesday. So it's more than just doing eat and spending time. You're building those relationships that are so important for us to grow those spiritual muscles. Amen? Hiding out and keeping hidden from people, you're not going to get spiritually stronger. We have to grow. And so praying that you would be spiritually stronger. It's not just reserved for the young and talented. Spiritual strength is available to all believers.
Right.
All of us can be spiritually strong. Sometimes we look at other people, I'm just not as strong as them. Yeah, that's easy for you to say, you know what, your faith is stronger, I'm just not there. It's time to get in that gym, right? It's time to start worshiping. It's time to start getting into God's Word. It's time to start fellowshipping with other believers so that you can be strong. And one day somebody's going to come up and look at you and say, well, I'm just not as strong as you. You're like, hey, listen, I didn't get here overnight.
Right.
I didn't develop this spiritual strength one time. I began to get into God's Word and work that on a regular basis. So here's how. Let me just kind of give you an example. How I've prayed for you guys, how you can use this to pray for other people. You can say that first part, pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit and your inner strength. So you can begin to say, God, I pray for so-and-so that they will be spiritually strong, that they will be able to resist sin and temptation. Like when you know people are struggling, God, I'm praying that they will have supernatural power to fight the enemy. Because the enemy's schemes and tactics are trying to take them out. So Lord, help them to not quit on Jesus. Help them to not cave in to the culture in our society that's telling them this is archaic. Lord, help them to be strong. Help their faith to begin to grow. Help them to begin to trust you more. That when hardships and difficulties and persecution and opposition comes, because Lord, you said that they would come. Help them to not be weak and running and hiding, but they would stand strong in faith, Lord, that more of you would be evident in their life. I mean, that's just kind of like, how do I pray that? Right? You just begin to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to help you to pray that people are going to be stronger. Right? That they're going to grow. I quoted this verse earlier. Let me jump to it here. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How many of you realize that's not really what that verse is talking about, what they're doing right there? Right? He wasn't talking about running faster, making more touchdowns, making an A on the test that you didn't study for. So that's not really, so many people use this verse in the wrong context. The verse was talking about how to be strong and endure during difficult times. During struggles that you're in. So don't rag on somebody that does that the next time. Just kind of shake your head and say, Lord, they need to grow. Amen. Right? They just need to grow, right? Sometimes we quote God's word. But I pray that you pray this prayer for your family. How many of you want to pray for your family? God, help them to be strong. How many of you got friends? I hope you pray that for the leaders of our country. Right? I hope you pray that for us. Right? We need that. That we would be strong in the Spirit. Verse 13 and 17, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that, that's the key word there, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So that's number two. Pray that Jesus will dwell in people's hearts. I mean, that's an important thing. This is not just like, oh, I pray that they say the salvation prayer and they make it into heaven. All right. How many of you know this is where Jesus becomes the Lord over every area of our life? I mean, maybe you were like me. When I first accepted Christ, I only let Jesus in a few areas. Anybody like that? Like, you couldn't have everything. It took a while for me. And sometimes people, they say the sinner's prayer, even get baptized. But they're like, okay, God, there's places that you're not allowed. Right? We kind of compartmentalize things. Much like a house, it's like, okay, Jesus, I'm inviting you into my room, into my house here. Like this whole bed, this layout here is your heart, but you're saying you can only come in. I got my own Jesus room for you. This is where I come to church. This is where I listen to my worship music. I got my Bible in this room that I pick up every now and then. Got to dust it off, right? Or if you got it on your phone, it's like, oh man, I got to refresh this app. It's been on for a while, right? But that's your Jesus room. And a lot of times we let people, or let the Lord in there, but it's like, okay, I've got these other places in my heart that God, I don't really want you in my addictions. I got my struggles, Lord, and you know it. I mean, nobody's perfect, right? So you can't come in there. That's kind of off limits to you. Or maybe you've got a wrong relationship, and we all know what that is. I mean, I'm not going to have to go into detail. Maybe you're single and you're having an inappropriate relationship with someone of the opposite sex, or maybe the same sex. I'm not even getting into that. But anyway, you never know. Maybe you're married and you have a flirty relationship with somebody that you're not married to. And you're like, it's just innocent. Do you know how many affairs have started with innocence? And it's like, come on, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal, right? Why is it that you hide that information, right? So, okay, God, do I let you in that? What about bad habits or secret sins? How many of you know there are some bad habits that won't send you to hell, but they'll certainly ruin your testimony?
Amen.
All right? Oh, come on, God, it's just one of my vices. It's not a big deal. Nobody really cares. Secret sins. How many of you know it may be secret to everybody else, but not to God? Oh, God, I can't let you in there. This is no big deal. Ooh, and here's one. Nobody, and a lot of people, don't get in my pocketbook. Church just wants my money. No, God wants your heart.
That's right.
And there's an area of our life that's a big deal, and it's our finances. Or what about this one right here, our wounds and our hurts? Oh, Lord, you know what? I don't let anybody in there. I don't even go in there. As a matter of fact, I boarded that door up and put the caution tape on it, right? Sometimes we nurse those things, and we hang on to those things, and we, you know, Jesus, you stay out here in the living room. This is your spot, right? I mean, you guys understand how that works. It's like God wants to come in and begin to bring healing in that.
Right.
But we got to let him in. We got to let him. Look, this is how the New Living Translation says that verse. Then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust him. That's what it's talking about, dwell. Not just dwell in the living room out there. He wants to be in your entire house. He wants to get all in you, right? He wants to dwell up in you. I mean, a couple of months ago when we went to Washington for our daughter's wedding, we rented a couple of Airbnbs, and we had never really done that before. But once we get, have anybody here ever go on an Airbnb? There's a few. How many of you realize when you rent an Airbnb, you realize you're renting somebody else's house? Right? Because there are closets that are locked. Sometimes there's rooms that are locked that you can't get into. And it's like owner's closet, you know. Or there was one of them that we rented. They had two refrigerators. One had, you know, had the lock and a chain on it, like, stay out of my fridge. Here's one for you. So you realize there are areas that are off limit. When we bought our house in Placerville 4 years ago, we made our home in that house. How many of you know there's not a room in that house I can't go into? Right? Can you go into all the rooms in your house? Right? Even if somebody's living in there, hey, listen, this is my house. I can still come in there, right? There's not a room that we can't go in. But here's the thing. Sometimes people have accepted Jesus, and they treat him more like an Airbnb rather than owning the house, right? Jesus, here's where you can go. This is off limits. No. And so when you begin to pray that Christ will dwell in somebody's heart, these are things you can begin to pray. God, that Lord, I pray for my friend that every room will be opened and every area Jesus can have access to. Lord, the addictions that they're struggling with, the relationships that are not right with you, the bad habits, the secret sins, Lord, even over their finances, I pray that Jesus will affect the way we talk to people and about people. I pray that the wounds and the hurts that they're carrying, that they've had locked away for years, Lord, that you would have access and finally begin to bring healing into those areas. I pray that they will be so much Jesus that Satan's schemes will fail every time. Right? You're praying that they're just going to be full to overflowing. And how many of you realize, I was sitting there praying about this morning. When the enemy wants to attack you, guess where he comes through? He doesn't come through the Jesus room. Right? Because Jesus is in there. What does he do? He comes through our habits, our secret sins. He's going to attack us there. Maybe through your addictions. That's how he's going to come and he's going to attack you. Maybe through your finances. Oh, the wounds and hurts. How many of you know people's wounds and hurts have kept them from becoming all that Christ has called them to do? Right? Oh, I can't. And so he comes in. He definitely comes in through your wrong relationships, right? So that's really, the enemy's not going to come that full front. He's going to come around the side. Oh, look, there's an open window here, right? It's cracked open. I'm going to get in. That's what he does. So we're saying, oh, God, fill them to every part of their house, right? Every part of my heart, I want to be full of you. Amen? So verse 17, let me move on. And I pray, see, he's still praying for them, being rooted and established in love, that you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God, or Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Yes. Isn't that good? How many of you know that the result of allowing God to take over your entire being means that the love of God is saturating every part of your life? Right? Every area that you are in, it's like, oh man, the love of God is right there. So that's number three, is that they will know God's love. You're praying for people. Lord, let them know your love. And I'm just going to tell you, and my kids know it, I love my kids. I love their spouses. And, you know, but how many of you know God's love is greater? Amen. God's love is greater. And listen, I love my grandkids even more. How many of you know there's something about grandkids that until you have grandkids, you just don't know, like, oh man, you know what? And I know people jokingly say, man, if I knew grandkids were so awesome, I would have skipped my kids. Right? But I love my kids, so I wouldn't have skipped them because they're awesome also. But imagine human love that I can imagine, God's love is so much greater. God's love is so much more than we can possibly imagine. I love this verse out of Ephesians, out of the Message version. And it says, and I ask him, talking about God, that he would, with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimension of Christ's love. I love this. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its links. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God. There's no way, I like what this one author said. He goes, the world cannot comprehend the great love that Christ gives because it cannot comprehend Christ. Worldly love is based on attraction and therefore lasts only as long as the attraction. But Christ's love is based on his nature and therefore lasts forever. Worldly love lasts until it is offended or rejected. Christ's love lasts despite every offense and every rejection. Worldly love loves for Christ's love, loves for what it can give. And what is incomprehensible to the world is to be normal love for the child of God. Right? Isn't that good? I know Louis Armstrong, the great jazz musician, someone once asked him, hey, can you explain jazz to me? And he says, if you have to ask what jazz is, you'll never know. All right. How many of you know the same is true with God's love? Can you explain can you explain the love of God? Right. Oh man, he really loves me. We don't really have the words to do it, because trying to explain God's love is nothing that we can really fully explain. It's something you have to experience. If you've not opened your heart to Jesus, you can't possibly comprehend how much God loves you. It's beyond our understanding. Before, you know, God doesn't love us for who we were, but for who we can be. He sees that in spite of my failures, in spite of my faults, in spite of my habits, hang-ups, all of that. God loves us. And I know when I was younger in the Lord, I don't remember. I heard somebody had said about how God loves you, and he already knows all your failures. Not just the ones that you've already done, but the ones that you're going to do. And guess what? He still loves you. He still loves us. God's love is not reserved for us being able to do enough. Sometimes we're like, okay, if I just do enough, You know, I can get in God's graces because, man, I really messed up last week, right? I really blew it last week. So, God, I'm going to do enough. I'm going to give a little extra in the offering. I'm even going to go change a baby's diaper in the nursery, right? I'm going to balance this scale so that, God, I can get back into your good graces. How many of you know that's the wrong way to look at it? The Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were his enemies, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Amen? Amen? And because of his love for us, how many of you know we have a responsibility? When you begin to understand that, what is that responsibility? It's in John chapter 4. It says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God, and anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us, sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins." And here's our responsibility. It says, "Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other." That's our responsibility. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God's love is in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. How many of you know, to try to explain God's love to somebody, you're not going to be able to do it with your mouth, but you can do it with your actions. Right? People can begin to sense that. And so this is how I would pray for somebody to experience God's love. Lord, I pray that they would know and experience your love to all of the extents. I pray that your love will result in them and as love for other people. I pray that you will that when they fail, when they blow it, God, that they will know that you still love them. And I pray that in the moments of low self-esteem, low self-worth, that Lord, that you deeply love them. That even when they're rejected and marginalized by people, family, and friends, they will know that you were bought at a high price. That they were purchased, that they were not a buy one, get one free, but they were bought at top dollar. So just begin to pray God's love, that God would begin to reveal that love to them. Because I honestly believe if people could grasp that, how many of you know there would never be an empty seat in any church? Right? Everybody would, like if people really understood how much God loved them. And so that's a prayer. God, help me to begin to pray for people in that way. Let's move on to verse 18. "And may have power together with all the saints to grasp," I'm reading it again, "how wide, long, high, and deep is his love, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge," here's the thing, "that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God." What is that? Right? To be filled. It's pray that they would be filled with God. That the word, this word here, to be filled, talks about total dominance. If you are completely filled to the top. And I got my little cups up here that one of them is you. If you can write it there with my nice Sharpie I wrote on it. The other one is Jesus. How many of you know if you're full of yourself, you can't put much more of Jesus into you? Right? So what do we have to do? We got to empty ourselves of us so that we can be full of Jesus. Right? Doesn't that make sense? That it's like John the Baptist said in John 3. He says, he must increase, but I've got to decrease. There's got to be less of my attitude, less of my ugly self in me. Lord, that you would begin to fill me to the top. Lord, so much. And this is how I would pray that. Lord, let people begin to see. And I pray this for myself. Lord, I want more of Jesus and less of me. Anybody else with me? I pray that Lord, you would fill people so much with the love and power of God that your presence, and I'm not going to do it, but would begin to spill out over us. How many of you know we should be spilling out on people? We should be so full. Sometimes I fill my coffee cup in the morning and I got to walk outside and I'm walking out to my deck and it's like, oh man, I spill some of it. Anybody ever spill your coffee? I mean, you got to fill it up, right? What's a half cup? Come on. Right? But I don't want to just be spilling coffee. I want to be spilling Jesus wherever I go.
Hallelujah.
Amen? That when people see me coming, that they see him in me, that they hear his words in my words, that they see his actions in my actions, that people will say, hey, listen, I don't know what that guy's got, but I want some of that.
Right?
He's got so much joy and peace and the presence of God. That's what it means to be full of God, to be filled with him. And then the prayer finishes in verse 20 and 21, really. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Now, I don't know about you, but I can imagine a lot. All right? Anybody got a good imagination? Like I want to encourage you just to do this, because I still have big dreams. I shared a little bit of that last week for my life, for this church, and I have big dreams for you guys, crazy dreams. So I want you to imagine, what could God do in your life if he had full control? What are some of the possibilities? And whatever it is that you imagine, guess what? That's still smaller than God's dreams. That's still smaller than God's dream. So, number 5 in your notes, pray that they will dream big dreams and accomplish big things for Christ. I think, again, sometimes we limit God. Oh, you know what? I can't do that. Sometimes other people will minimize. Oh, yeah, God's not going to use you for that. How many of you know you don't need those people in your life, right? No, you need people to encourage you. I believe that God can do so much more in us. Why? Not because of your past, not even because of your age. How many of you know sometimes, I'm too old for that? Or I'm too young for that, right? God doesn't look at age and think, oh no, well, yeah, maybe if you were 20 years younger, I could do something good in your life, right? No, it doesn't work that way. It says, him that is immeasurably able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. What does it say? According to the power, his power that is at work within us. Right? The only reason we can do immeasurably more is not because I'm the right age, not because I'm the right set of talents or the right influence in my life. The only reason God can do more than I can ever ask or imagine is because it's his power in me. It's Christ doing it. It's not me. It's yes, I'm being obedient to the things, but you walk in obedience to him, God will do more than you can ever imagine. God, let your power. That's why we need to be filled with the power of God, because he will do immeasurably more than you ever ask or imagine in your life. Amen? I mean, didn't Jesus say this in John 14:12? I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Right? How many of you know that's not just a verse to quote? That's a reality. If we will be full of him, so full of him, and allow God to begin to use us, surrender every part of our life, God will use us in greater and greater ways. So I want to challenge you. Take this outline there and make it, begin to pray that over people in your life. Begin to pray it over yourself. Listen, there's nothing wrong with praying that over myself. God, I pray that I will be stronger. God, I pray that I'll begin to grasp how wide, how deep your love is. God, I pray that you would begin to dwell in my heart. There's some rooms that I need to unlock. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Maybe you got some rooms you need to unlock and say, okay, God, I haven't let you in here for a while, but it's time to let you back in. It's time to clean out the hurts. It's time to deal with some of those bad habits, right? It's time to end some of those relationships that I know are not appropriate, right? It's time to give that surrender to him and allow him to have every part of your life. Amen? Can I have everybody stand? Thank you, Lord. Last night I was praying over this message, and there was this prayer here, but I'm really wanting to encourage you guys, not just this prayer, but to begin to realize how powerful those prayers in the Bible are. And so I text Timothy late at night. Well, late for me, probably not for him, but what was it, 10:30?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's not even important. And I said, I wanted him to sing this song. This is called The Blessing. Some of you are aware of it. Some of you may not. But it's an Old Testament, but it's a prayer of blessing. And I want you to receive that here today. And Actually, if our prayer team, if you guys will come up, but don't come up to them until after they've kind of sung the song, and then we'll have some music. But I want you guys to walk out of here blessed and realize how powerful God's word is when you begin to declare that in your life. Amen. Amen.
Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious to you. Lord turn his face toward you and give you. Shine upon you, be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. And beside you, all around you, and within you, he is with you, he is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping, rejoicing, he is for you, he is for you. Gracious to you.
That out of your glorious riches, Lord, that you may strengthen with your power through your Spirit each person in their inner being. Lord God, I pray for those that are here, those that weren't able to be here. Lord, I declare your strength over them. Lord, this week, Lord God, supernatural strength, supernatural wisdom, Lord God, to come. Lord, I pray out of your glorious riches you would do that. Lord, that you would dwell in our hearts, oh God. Father, every area, every aspect, every corner, every nook, every cranny, oh God, Father, would be open to you, Lord God, and you would begin to do a renewing work, oh God. Father, I pray that we would begin to understand on a deeper level, Lord God. It will take a lifetime and eternity to finally fully grasp how much your love is for us. But Lord God, I pray a new dimension of your love will be open today, Lord God, throughout this week. Lord God, that we would have fresh revelations of how much you really do love us, oh God. And Father, that we would be filled to all fullness with you. Lord, let us splash out in El Dorado County and the surrounding areas. Lord God, let your love begin to flow out of us, Lord God, in indescribable ways. Father, that you are going to do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine. To you, Lord God, be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus. Lord God, you get all the praise and all the glory in your name. Amen. 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 God is good.